we can say, broadly speaking, that the patristic period runs from about 300 to 600 in the West, from about 300 to about 750 in the East. But the really great work, the creative, the dynamic period, runs from about 350 to 450. So primarily our focus here in the remarks in this lecture will rest on this period between about 350 and 450, but we'll sneak outside those boundaries a little bit. This is also, it should be said, the very time when Christian art and Christian architecture begin to emerge as well. In other words, we can see various manifestations of Christian culture, not merely the written culture of intellectuals addressing extremely complicated and abstruse problems. Church fathers, then, the key figures in the patristic age, they address themselves to three big questions. Many, many questions, but three big ones. How is the Bible to be understood? Remember last time we talked about building a canon of Scripture, getting the basic books down. These are the books we're going to work with. Well, once that set of problems had been solved, one then had to turn to the very interesting, the very complex, the very difficult, but the very important problem of saying, how do we understand this Bible? Here again, we see great continuity with the Jewish tradition. What rabbis did was explain the Scriptures. Now what the church is going to do is explain the Scriptures. In the second place, how are fundamental Christian doctrines to be explained? We talked last time, the problem of the Trinity. God is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is true God and true man. How do we explain these things? How do we talk about these things? Not surprisingly, pagan philosophy did not have vocabulary or conceptual frameworks to talk about a single metaphysical being who was both God and man, for instance. So Christianity had to figure out what to do with questions like that. Third, what does classical culture have to do with Christianity? What does Christianity have to do with classical culture? Or, as one Christian writer said, what has Athens to do with Jerusalem? Christianity grew up in a world of old, powerful, deep cultural traditions. How was it going to position itself with respect to those traditions? So, without trying to claim here that they addressed every potential problem or that they solved every problem that they addressed, it is basically the church fathers who will help us to answer these three questions. The first of the great Latin fathers, and it's important to say that there were Greek fathers as well, and I'll come to some of them in a few minutes. The first of the great Latin fathers was Ambrose. Now, Ambrose lived from 339 until 397. He was a local nobleman who was then elected bishop of Milan. Now, Milan was a very important city in late antiquity. Indeed, it was really the capital of the Western Empire for a long time. Emperors were much more commonly in Milan than they ever were in Rome. So we see this theme that I hinted at in the last lecture of powerful local people who had once served the Roman administration, now going into the service of the church. We'll see in Ambrose the kind of figure who once might, as an intellectual in the pagan tradition, have spoken to the Roman tradition. Now he is going to speak to the Christian tradition. Ambrose, a very interesting person. He wrote beautiful poems and beautiful hymns. Many of his poems, subsequently translated into English, set to music, are still used in Christian churches to this day. But the basic points we want to make in connection with Ambrose are these. First, he translated the Greek philosophical ideas and even some of the writings of Greek Christian writers such as Origen of Alexandria into intelligible form for Latins. Broadly speaking, we can say that Latin was somewhat poorer in philosophical vocabulary than Greek was, and we can say that Christianity was infinitely poorer in philosophical and or theological vocabulary than the pagan traditions had been. So Ambrose was a first figure who opened up the world of Greek Christian thought to the Latin Christian world. That was a very important bridge that he built and a very important contribution of his to the growing Christian culture of late antiquity. Second, with respect to Ambrose, he developed and he propagated the use of allegory in the Latin West as a mode of biblical interpretation. Now, this actually was something, again, which owed a great deal to Origen of Alexandria, whom I mentioned a moment ago. The problem basically is this. There were many passages in the Bible that seemed not to make full sense, that seemed contradictory to common sense or human reason.